Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. If one is to fall, the other is there to pick them back up. That's scripture. Amen. I'm Ronald Corsi. We are your hosts, Ronald Corsi Jr.
and Chelsea Corsi.
We're still married.
After all of, ironically. And we're still married.
Why would
for
you
real, say? We're not joking. We're not lying. It's not a facade.
First of all, the shade that you're throwing. You're not
I'm not throwing shade.
That's very ironic. First of all, the irony in your voice is funny, but the shade is also funny as well. You're not really a shady person, that makes it very hilarious.
Okay.
You've never thrown shade a day I've known you to right now, so that makes it very funny.
That's hilarious.
But yes, we are indeed actually married.
Yes.
There are no entanglements.
No.
Or side pieces.
Or just facades or lies. Yeah, this is not a facade.
It is not.
We're not joking.
We're not joking. That would be very funny. It would be a very long joke to be playing. Like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We ain't married, but let's make a marriage podcast.
That really is too much.
Three seasons in. Let's just give good marriage advice. Sound solid marriage advice. We're not married. That would be very funny.
But we know what we're talking about, so you should listen to us.
And that's not to say maybe you can't. So maybe these people who are not actually married have something to offer about marriage.
Sure.
Maybe. But
they can tell you what not to do for sure.
Yeah, in many regards.
If they're aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. With no further ado.
Poorly placed yawn right there. But yes. So with no further ado.
Mm-hmm.
Shall you?
I mean, y'all probably figured it out. We're talking about Will and Jada today.
Will and Jader.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Willard.
Her Smith. Memoir was just released, and it
is
came.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
I'm sorry, because I saw people talking about they always do this. As soon as they make up some goofy drama, and then something gets released after.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, but I didn't know what was released.
Mm. I mean, that would make a lot more sense if this is just to get people interested in the book.
Yes.
But, yeah, so apparently it was revealed in her memoir that they have been separated for 7 years.
7 whole years. Let's give a pause for that.
And they are living.
Yikes.
7 years. 7 years.
And they're living. Where are they living?
She said they are living completely separate lives as if they are divorced people.
This is what makes you mad about the world.
And I'm not even trying to, like, throw shade at them or laugh at them. It's just like, what?
Why did we do any of this?
I just don't understand why they wouldn't have just said. I mean.
That's goofy. That's goofy. Willard and Jada. That's goofy.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to be living as if you're divorced. And to, like, you know, this man is out here slapping people. And besmirching, really, the family and his good name behind your honor. Mm-hmm. And y'all aren't even together.
I mean, he still speaks very highly of her. Well, wait a minute. Is it that she revealed it in an interview about the memoir or in the memoir? Probably both. But sure. Yeah, y'all can fact check. But anyway, he still honors her very much as his wife, because she was his wife for a long time, and as the mother of his children and all of that. He still, you know, they have mutual love and respect for one another, and, you know, I guess he still just feels as though he should defend her. But especially when the world thinks that's your wife, you probably do feel obligated
in that regard.
To not let people talk about your wife. The funny thing about that whole slap thing, though, was I had no idea about the alopecia thing. And I feel like many people did not know.
Nobody knew that.
And he's all acting like that was on purpose. And I'm like, I don't think Chris Rock even knew she had alopecia.
Nah, people be insulated.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I mean, we're all self-centered. But a lot of times we make more of things than, you know, than what they actually are.
We do.
So now, because it's so real to you, you're like, well, don't you realize, you know, Mm-hmm. Why would you ever make fun of somebody? Mm-hmm. It's just like, yo, nobody on earth.
At all.
I'm talking about, yeah, it was y'all two. Y'all the only two people that knew. Mm-hmm. And the doctor that diagnosed her. We did not know. I thought she was rocking a baldy just because it worked for her.
I'm yeah, like, and cool. It's cute. It's fine. Yeah. You know, she dyed it blonde and everything, and it looks stylish. It looked like a choice.
And Willow over here, she got a dini too.
She does.
Oh, this is just a family thing.
Maybe it was solidarity, and we didn't even know.
We ain't doing no hair up in here. We just going.
I'm standing with you, Mom. That's
get my Caesar right. If my Caesar is right.
Okay.
Shape me up.
All right.
Get my waves roping. Where my wave cap?
All right. Terrible.
Jada Pinkett in a wave cap is funny.
That is funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I mean, the validity of this with our theme of the season, why should I get married? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people today asking that question. Why should I get married? Yeah. I feel like this is just an old institution that people do out of tradition. Mm-hmm. That really is, speaking of Willow, she has spoken of such things because she is polyamorous. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
I think polyamorous. Right. Well, she can have as many she can be in a relationship.
Yeah, she's in as many relationships as she wants to be, and they're men or women or whoever, but just multiple relationships. Right. But she was saying like she never wants to be married and all of that. And it's funny because that episode of the Red Table Talk, you know, which the Red Table Talk is Jada, her mother, and her daughter, Willow.
Yeah.
And they will have guests on, but they're the three. And I do like seeing that dynamic of, like, the three generations speaking on the same issue. But her grandmother was totally taken aback. Like, she was hating it.
Yeah.
You know, she just, well, what's wrong with getting married? I'm married and I'm happy. I mean, why can't we just be happy with and just revealing, like, but won't that cause issues, you know? Mm. But it's interesting seeing from grandma to Jada, who's kind of just like, whatever makes you happy, but I'm not with it, to Willow, who's like, yeah, I'm with it, and I'm doing what makes me happy. But it's interesting seeing that progression. But, yeah, they were talking about all of that or whatever. I kind of lost my train of thought. That doesn't matter. The point. Oh, right. Because she was saying she never wants to be married.
Right.
And that's the generation that we're in now, is people are just like, I really see no point in it. We can have a committed relationship without getting married. Mm-hmm. I might not want to have a commitment to any one person. I, you know, all these other things. And, you know, I feel like Will and Jada add fuel to the fire of, like, if people are saying they're happy, they're lying.
Yeah.
Like, nobody out here is actually happy and actually in a good marriage.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Especially one where it's just you. Like, I gotta have somebody on the side, because that's the only way I can fulfill all of my sexual desires.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, quest for world domination. You know what I mean? You can only have one baby at a time, so let me go ahead and get 10 of y'all pregnant at once.
Yikes.
But what this is what I'm feeling in my spirit is that we have to watch who our sources are.
Mm-hmm.
Our source. Like, where we get what we got, we have to watch where it comes from. Because some people literally have great intentions. Like, nobody, no parent, well, generally, no parent. And even Will and Jada, I don't feel like they go into their relationship saying that I don't want it to be successful, you know, or let's just mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Nobody goes in. They go in wanting to make it well. But when your children come into it, they get it all the same. So now when I am a child, my source naturally by default is whoever I'm closest to. It's my parent. It's my you know, whoever's raising you, my guardian. So now my source is them, whether I want it to be or not. And so now you have to watch the actual sources that come into you. It's not like the news or social media where you can just turn it off. Your sources is like, we are literally like living, walking disciples of our guardians or whoever raised us.
That's true.
Which is, it's true, but it's really hard. You know, thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Where he can, you know, he can change things that need to be changed. But most people, or I won't say most, but a lot of people don't even have that idea. They don't even have that thought, like, hey, I've been downloaded. mm-hmm. with whatever it is that they are.
Yeah.
Entanglements and marriage that's rocky and, you know, poor things. They're celebrities before anybody they've done anything.
Yeah, my God.
Right. You're a child of a celebrity and your parents just so happen to be like really, really high ranking celebrities.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere where people don't know you.
Yeah.
There's nowhere you can go. And now I've been downloaded into this, and I think a part of this, like, oh, polyamorous, not to mention just Satan and his hold on the world, but it's like an entitlement, like, oh, I can just do what I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all goes in when everything, you have everything,
yeah.
and they have, you know, they have everything, and it seems like they have everything. Now they're holding up a facade, and it's all being downloaded.
Yeah.
It's like, our sources are so important just because they make up who we are.
I think also to your point that, you know, us as parents and as Christians, mm-hmm. mainly we need to watch. Because I stopped watching the Red Table Talk because sometimes, like, I don't want to feel like I'm being influenced by worldly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then it starts sounding like people are making good points and,
oh, yeah.
you know, just like... But and if it lines up with the word of God, praise God, because some people will say things that truly are wise or correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's found in the word of God when that's the case. But a lot of people don't prioritize actually fact checking.
Uh-oh.
Like, is this what God would say or does this just sound like
I'm about to hit you.
What I would say?
Oh, I'm about to hit you, Chelsea. This is what they say. You got to do what's best for you.
Yes.
It's all about you. Does that make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it doesn't, then, hey, you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Download, download, download.
And now your children are receiving that from
here
you.
Here we go. Oh, if it doesn't make me happy, I don't have to do it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Cool. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to not have sex.
Yeah.
I like to steal. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
Not stealing doesn't make me happy, so...
You know? That's part of what kills me, too, because I've said this before and I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face. Where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
Because, okay, everything is okay until it's not.
Yeah.
How if we do not have, we're in a small group with our church now where we're talking about why we believe the Bible.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how the Bible has the canon, you know, and how the, you know, the church, the Council of Laodicea, you know, they got together and they decided what the canon is, which is our Bible. And the canon is what they have deemed through much study and comparison of fragments of scriptures and copies of scriptures they found everywhere to decide what all goes together to say the same thing, you know, that matches up to be the authentic word of God.
Mm.
And, you know, but canon means rule.
Mm-hmm.
It means measuring stick.
Uh-huh.
We use this to measure what is true and what is false.
Right.
We use this to measure what is the will of God and what is the will of man.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take out a canon, when you take out the rule, mm-hmm. the measuring stick, now we're just every man against himself saying,
right.
Well, I believe this, you believe that. And, and the world says they have that symbol, the peace sign or whatever, and they're saying like
coexist.
That. That is what the world is saying. Oh, well, how come there has to be a truth, like a solid singular truth?
Right.
Why can't we all just respect each other's opinions and ideas and everything? Because one day we're going to come to a point where some of you feel that, you know, nothing needs to happen at all. We're going to have the purge. That's why.
Your truth violates my truth.
Exactly.
And then you have a problem.
And then we have a problem because what do we use to decide there has to be a higher authority?
Yeah.
If there's no higher authority, we're all just out here
living.
And it's chaos.
There is no basic moral standard that people like to hold on to and say, well, we don't need God's standard. There's a basic moral standard, but it's just actually just flatly a lie.
That's it.
Because what you call wrong and what I call wrong is two different things.
Yes.
And certain things you think are right, I think are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And both are moral based.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like, okay. And that doesn't even take long to prove.
Exactly.
Right. But I think at the heart of it is carnality.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that the fleshly man cannot please God because it's actually enmity against God.
Mm-hmm.
And your carnal mind is set to self-preservation.
Yeah.
Self-preservation says do whatever you can to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also, to add, do whatever you can to give yourself, you know, pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure, whatever your desires. Avoid as much pain as possible. Mm-hmm. Do what is pleasurable, which is so anti-kingdom that it's from Satan.
And that's why it's anti-marriage.
Right.
As well.
Like, self-preservation is a natural rule, but we've turned it into, like, it goes against the kingdom. It's actually quite amazing. Like, we actually may have to question the self-preservation, just because the kingdom is not about actual, it's about preserving itself.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of its participants. Or it's at the expense of the participants, because the kingdom shall not die, right? Upon this rock I build my church. The kingdom of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about the kingdom of God, right? But he's not talking about our bodies.
No.
And but our souls, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not talking about our bodies. So when you talk about actual self-preservation, it's us really, in essence, kind of moving out of the way of the kingdom mandate, where the kingdom mandate says, take no thought for your life.
Right.
What you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear at all.
That's very unnatural.
And he said, take no thought.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about, sir?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, no thought? I mean, no thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't even give it credence.
And then he says, the pagans.
The pagans.
The worldly.
The worldly.
They think of, they're worried about those things.
Yes.
But you should not be, because you are my child and you are kingdom minded.
That's right. And if I can, you know, if he dresses a lily.
Yes.
With beauty and splendor.
Yes.
How much more will he clothe you?
It's true.
How much more will he clothe you? If he watches over every sparrow. Yes. How much more will he love you? How much more does he love you? Yellow song.
Yeah.
Dog on it. But it's that idea of it is me, me, me. It is what makes me. I was literally just reading. It's like in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Instead of lovers,
it's
Mark. It's Mark chapter 8. I actually got a Bible right here. I noticed it.
Cool.
It's not mine, so there's something about having your own Bible. Like, you would just be knowing where stuff at. Whereas this joint, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
It's a church Bible, guys. You guys probably recognize it.
Yeah,
that's a pew Bible.
I don't even know why we have it. Real talk.
Ron stole it from a church.
Oh, man.
Back when he was a pagan.
Last week. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 8. Because you know what your Bible looks like. That's the crazy part. But in this, it's 8, I think it's 34 through, let me see. Then he says, "Ooh, mercy." It's because of the light. Oh, and when he had called, this is Jesus, he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, this is Mark chapter 8, verse 34. He called the people unto him with his disciples also. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We could have just stopped there.
We could have.
Could have just stopped there, but all right.
Mm-hmm.
For whoever will save his life shall lose it. There's self-preservation right there.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to literally preserve yourself. And he's saying, if you are doing that, you are literally going to lose your life. And he's talking about eternal life. Like, he's talking about hell. Like, you will not inherit this kingdom. Okay. Amen. Keep going, Ron. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Yeah.
Or what shall a man... I'm reading the wrong thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you what you're reading. The Lord was speaking that scripture to me.
Yes.
When I was crying at growth group today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, that's really it, because we were watching a video. It was Francis Chan, and he's talking about, like, the history of Israel and just, you know, just how the Bible is being fulfilled and all of that, basically.
Yes.
And but he was saying that we tend to read the Bible selfishly.
Right.
You know, looking for how the gospel message and the word of God and having the favor of God will benefit us rather than what our role is to play in the story.
Amen.
Yeah.
It was actually 2 Timothy.
Okay.
Chapter 3. I went to Mark 8 after.
Okay.
This is what the Lord said. This says, okay, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, yeah, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Yeah, that's it.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Yeah.
And that's literally what it is. It's like people have good ideas.
They do.
They have stuff that, that seems like it makes sense. I mean, I should love myself more than somebody else.
Right.
And if it doesn't make me happy, I shouldn't do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That seems to make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem happens when your happiness and God's will clash.
That's it.
And now it's like, okay, am I going to be a lover of God or am I going to be a lover of myself? 9 times out of 10, we choose ourselves.
Yeah.
If not 10 times out of 10, we choose ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you're in the flesh, you always choose yourself.
Oh, for sure.
Like, and we're talking about people who have the Spirit of God, where it's like, well, prayerfully, I have some sort of balance where, yeah, I'm like, oh, I messed up on that one, but hey, God, I'm over here. But the carnal mind, those who do not have the Spirit, this says having a form of godliness,
mm-hmm,
is literally like, it looks like God.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks like something God would do. God wants me to be happy.
Yeah.
He wants my life to be great. He wants, yeah, me to be rich. Mm-hmm. He wants me to be famous. He wants me to be a celebrity. That way I can be an example to everybody of how God wants us to be.
Wow.
And I'll be a celebrity. And people say, oh, he wants to make you a celebrity. He wants to make blah, blah, blah. It's like, God's desire for your life and your worldliness don't mix.
Not at all.
And until you can come out of it, you don't even know what his desire is. Yeah. You cannot know the will of God in the flesh.
Yeah.
That's why he says, turn away from this form of godliness, because it's going to lead you down a path of destruction. Broad is the way.
Yeah.
The way that leads to destruction is a lot. It's a big road. You can pick, yeah, a lot of them. Like, yep, destruction, that, destruction, destruction. Oh, yeah, self-serving, cool, destruction. Matter of fact, you want to be a boaster? All right, destruction. Mm-hmm. Proud, yep, high pleasures. I said high-minded, pleasure, mm-hmm, whatever, all that, destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what just came to my mind, it's James 1, 22 through 25.
Bars.
It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Yes.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Mm. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, mm, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Mm-hmm.
It really is just about deceiving your own selves. There's people who are hearers of the word,
yeah,
but they hear what they want to hear,
mm,
and they don't actually do what God says do.
Yikes.
And they deceive themselves into thinking, mm, you know, that, oh yeah, I'm on the right path and I'm saved and, mm, you know, like I have God's favor and all that stuff. Like you said, like, it can look and sound really good when people are pleasing themselves, but just putting God's name on it.
Yeah.
And putting God in it, mm, you know. And I say all the time, it cracks me up when you watch award shows and, you know, somebody get up there half naked cussing, you know.
I just, like, want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just for the work that he's doing in me. Forget my background. There was the best twerkers that I could find. You don't know how hard it was for me to find these twerkers, but God, I found them. And I needed somebody to make the thongs that they wear. And just, I got blessed by a seamstress and my outfit. You know what I'm saying? It's only 2 pieces, you know what I'm saying? But the Lord, he made a way. You know what I'm saying? He made a way for that. You know what I mean? I'll give up to my gang, you know, to my gang and all that. You know what I mean? We've been doing good. We've been chilling. You know what I mean? Only a few robberies, you know what I'm saying? Because the Lord is good. You know what I mean?
Verbatim.
I literally said that to the guys today. I was like, these guys is up here thanking the Lord, and like there's been stabbings and straight melees at these award shows.
That's crazy. Like, it's crazy. People do whatever,
yes,
and then they win an award and say, "All glory to God." They all have glory to God. It's like,
because it's him.
Whoa.
It's not me.
Whoa. And I'm going to say it. All right. Beehive might be coming for me, but whatever. I love Beyonce's body of work.
Sure. Great musician.
Yeah. Great musician. Great entertainer. Mm-hmm. Can't take that away from her. Gifted young lady. But.
You going to say young lady.
Gifted young lady. no, but but Renaissance is, man.
No.
It was so upsetting to me because I'm like, I can't even listen to this. Like, there was a time where there'd be some questionable things, but it wouldn't vex my spirit to that degree.
Okay.
Like, she has a song on her album called Church Girl, and it's literally talking about, you know, you talk. I'm going to look up the lyrics.
Oh, well, I don't know what to necessarily say about it because I don't follow Beyonce. She's great. You know, she's great. Great looking, great singing.
Mm-hmm.
I generally like that in my entertainers. you to be well, to do well with what you do. So by that standard, you know, she's great. And she's not the only one. You know what I mean?
All right. I'm a just, man. I want to be centered. I want to be centered. I want to be centered in thy will. I've been up, I've been down, feel like I moved mountains, got friends that cried fountains. I'm warning everybody, soon as I get in this party, I'm going to let go of this body. I'm going to love on me. Nobody can judge me but me. I was born free. I'll drop it like a thotty. Drop it like a thotty. I said, now pop it like a thotty, etc. Church girls acting loose, bad girls acting snotty. Twerk that A.
Yeah.
The song is called Church Girl.
Certainly.
And it starts off, I want to be centered in thy will. Nobody can judge me but me.
Not God. God can't judge you. See, now that's taking a drastic turn from you can't judge me to nobody can judge me.
Is she dropping an F-bomb and everything in here? It's literally, whew. And I was just like, dang, I can't even...
Can't rock,
you know,
with
there
it.
Was a B-Day was my man. B-Day was my heyday. But like, seriously, like, I was like, dang, Beyonce, we can't do this. And then it's like all these people at these concerts and everything where they're just like with it, you know, and
singing,
she got you know, just cross, you know, drags, drag queens, and, you know, like all kinds of other stuff. And it's like very much gay pride. You know, very much like targeting that audience and all the things. And I'm just like, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Because there's people that take these things as doctrine.
Yes.
Take musical lyrics and red table talks.
Oh, man.
And all these things. That's their doctrine.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, I can't keep watching this because it will be, it can be deceptive. It can be deceptive because they'll be saying stuff that's just like, oh, wow, yeah, because she's been through a lot. So it's like, you know, yeah, I mean, leave him, girl. I mean, you know, or yeah, man, like, just don't know, because you got to take care of you.
Got to take care of you.
You know, you've been through so much, you owe it to yourself.
Do you. Go to Miami.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's like,
go on vacation alone. Leave your children back with somebody else. Go on vacation.
Because you need it. And I mean, here's the thing.
You deserve it.
Here's the thing. Be Holy Spirit led. We ain't saying you should never do anything for yourself. The Bible says love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's an assumption there that, you know, it says nobody does harm to their own body.
Right.
You know, but you cherish it or whatever. So you should cherish, you know, whatever. So it's like there's an assumption here that you would not purposefully harm yourself.
Correct.
Therefore, do not purposefully harm others. But, like, let's really think about that for a second. I never really thought about it that way. I mean, it also says esteem others higher than yourself. But it says, like, nobody abuses their self or does harm to their own self. So, you know, so in the same way, don't purposefully do harm to someone else. I never really looked at it that way, where it's, like, there's a difference between... Because that is a hard line to toe. Like, you know, the whole self-care movement.
Sure.
That is a hard line to toe of like, yeah, make sure you don't die. You know, and you don't hurt yourself. You don't hurt yourself, but like at the same time, you're esteeming others higher than you and you're loving sacrificially. I mean, and Jesus loved to death.
Sure.
We say that all the time, like, I love you to death.
Yeah, lying.
Yeah, but not really. It's like, what does that really mean?
What does that mean? I mean, well, it should mean, I mean, I guess it would mean that I'd give my life for you, right?
Yeah.
Right. But
which would be harming yourself.
Yeah, it would. But I mean, no greater love has a man than this than to lay down his life for his friend. Mm-hmm. But generally, people don't mean that, you know. That's just a good expression.
I kind of want to look at root words of that scripture now, because it's like, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself and esteem them higher than yourself. But like, I wonder, does it really mean like love them in place of? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, I think. Well, I don't remember saying that, like, it's like love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
But the implication is that you love yourself. Really, God is saying you love yourself. The way you love yourself is how you're going to love others anyway.
But how do you do that? Because sometimes loving others means taking an L. You know? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I feel like that's what people struggle with.
Well, let's go into the L. So, uh-huh. So give me an example of taking an L for love.
Okay. So, oh man.
You said you got to take an L for love.
Yeah.
Kids.
I mean, we were just recently talking about like how sometimes you may need to like have a career change. Or, like, take a step back from a dream that you were dreaming or stuff like that. Like, it is sacrificial. It is like, this is something that I really want or that would make me happy that I'm not going to do because it's not what's best for y'all type of thing. You know, I mean, that's just the first thing that came to mind because we just talked about that, like, two episodes ago. Mm. But, like, you denying yourself. Mm. You know, I mean, some people, and that's why a lot of people don't like marriage.
Yes.
Because there's so much self-denial. They look at it as, oh, well, I have to give up me in order to love you.
To do something for you.
And I don't want to give up me.
I'm losing something by giving something to you.
Right. But sometimes we are.
No, I don't know if that's true. I feel like we're investing. Because put it like this, I'm literally, well, I mean, I have a person, a family member who was in need of a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And we happen to have an extra vehicle. So we gave the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I think literally that's the person that just texted me. So that's a good example. Mm-hmm. It's not about the thing so much as it is for the example. And that I didn't necessarily feel like we lost the vehicle because, you know, number one, it's God's vehicle. Let's just start there. Mm-hmm. But you give the vehicle, I see it's more of an investment into that person than it is me actually losing the vehicle.
But is that a suitable analogy? Because it wasn't really super valuable to us at this moment. We weren't using it.
Well, but if we did need to use it, I mean, that's just an example.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of a better example because sometimes people are like legitimately crushed. Mm-hmm. That they're not able to do something that would bring them joy, mm-hmm. or a sense of fulfillment, and instead, you know, it's like, well, I'm gonna do what's best for the family.
Laura and Dad Winslow. So Laura,
yes, that's a perfect example. Good.
So let's lay it for anybody who hasn't watched Family Matters, and if you have and haven't seen it in 20 years, which would be reasonable. Laura is brilliant, apparently. So is Steve. That's funny. Mm-hmm. But she wants to go to Harvard, and she happens to be accepted. And now Carl, her father, goes to get the money because he needs a loan because he ain't got it, which, first of all, is hilarious because he was like, I need $20,000. I'm like, yeah, you better be glad you was back in whatever year this was because I know it ain't – I don't know what it is, but I know it ain't 20. Mm-hmm. But I need $20,000 a year for the next 4 years, actually. He's like, we can't give you anything. I might be able to get you a couple thousand bucks. Mm-hmm. And so now Laura overhears her parents talking to each other, saying, "Oh Lord, you know, what are we going to tell her?" Because you know, this is the age old problem with people going to college. Mm-hmm. We don't got no money, but we still make too much money for them to pay for it.
My Lord.
All right, that's still and apparently that was going on back then. That's still crazy. Still does, but all right, fine. So they have an issue, and Laura overhears them saying it, and so she breaks down in the kitchen and makes a decision and comes in and says, "Okay, guys, I don't want to go to Harvard anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there obviously like, "Why? Why in the world would you not want to go to Harvard?" And she comes up with basically lies to them,
mm-hmm.
which is like, you know, yeah, sometimes I think there's an honorable lie, but you know, I want to stay close to home.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's crushed, but for the sake of the family and the finances, she decides to forego going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
I think later she still goes somehow. I don't remember how, mm-hmm. but that's a better example.
That's a perfect example.
Okay.
Because she literally was heartbroken. It didn't change what she wanted.
Yes.
And it didn't, you know, that was an actual sacrifice.
But at the heart of it, it is, I believe, in order to love your neighbor as yourself, you have to actually esteem them higher than yourself.
You do.
Right. And I know it's a goal. We don't do it perfectly. And sometimes we don't even do it good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally you putting yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
If I was them, what would I want me to do to them?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Laura is like, "Hey, I know I want to go to Harvard, but these are my parents and I know that they don't have it."
Mm-hmm.
And what they would have to do in order to get it would not actually benefit us.
Right.
So me putting myself in their shoes says, "Okay, I'll make the sacrifice."
Yeah.
Which is hard sometimes.
Because they meant more to her than Harvard did.
Oh, there you go.
And that's the only time you make decisions like that, when people mean more than things and opportunities and, you know, achievements.
Yeah, that's hard, though. That's a hard one. Because when it comes to your marriage, now it's like, wow. You know, you do have to give up a lot of things, but I still see it as an investment into what the thing you're building.
But that's the thing. It's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I was just talking to my cousin earlier about Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever is good, true, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, good report, all of those things. Think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an intentional effort that has to be made.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not what's naturally going to come, you know. And a few verses before that is saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Mm-hmm. You know, Paul is literally like, "Hey, guys, make a decision to praise the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And as the world likes to call it, practice gratitude,
yeah.
You know, but like literally, because if you don't, mm-hmm. your mind is naturally going to focus on the opposite. You have to be intentional about it,
yeah.
You know, but in moments where we have to make choices, you know, where it's like, okay, this is something I really wanted or really was looking forward to or whatever, but it doesn't benefit others and I'm going to put them first. In that moment, you have to make a decision about your perspective as well.
Yes.
Because I think, and that can be a marriage problem where you make the decision, but then you're resentful.
Mm. Yeah.
That happens. You know, you make the decision, but then every day you're just like, duh. You know, and after a while you blow up on the people and they're like, "What's wrong?" And it's like, "I gave up everything for you."
Everything.
And they're like, "What?
What things?" Everything. It's gone now. Can't show you because it's gone. But I think to the scripture, and I want to say it's Romans 12. It's either Romans 8 or 12. Let's go to 12. I feel like I know the scripture, but I just wanted to read it for the sake of effect. Thank you, Lord. I'm almost positive it's 12. Yeah, it's 12. I know it is. But it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what the will of God is.
Yeah, all right? That's the truth.
That's the part. Without the mind that we have in our natural mind, and even sometimes our spiritual mind, if it's not actually renewed to the point it needs to be, we don't know what the will of God is. So you transforming your mind is how you actually transform your perspective. You actually transform it through the word of God. Through his revelation, he can transform your mind in order for you to have really to have an understanding of the like the will and desire he has for you.
It's like
the idea of a child. It's like, you know what? It's like this, Chels. And this is a hard thing that for me to compute, but this is the first thing that's coming to my mind. It's like the difference between being a child and being an adult. Like we know so much more than them that they're pitiful. It's like when you actually think like the nuance that's involved in the relationship between us and our daughter, not yet our son, because he's so young that he's like human. He's just too young. But Sweet Bop, she is like, you know so much more than her that It's like you actually look back to when you were that age and you realize, wow, this is what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And adults are, it's like, I can't even say it right. It's like, you don't know how young you really were until you get old enough to look back at how young you were.
Wow.
And now you're looking at an 8-year-old and it's like, you know how much they don't know.
Yeah.
But they don't know how much they don't know.
Yeah.
But until their mind is transformed and they get older and mature and have experiences.
Yeah.
They won't be able to understand you until they get older.
Yeah.
And then they'll look at their children and say, oh my Lord, you are truly just a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't know anything. You don't know what you don't know, and you don't know anything.
Yeah.
The only thing you know is what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And like that process of growing up, it's so much nuance that an adult would know that a child is oblivious to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean oblivious to. Mm-hmm. That like JJ has no idea that, hey, stop touching that glass because it might break and then you might have a cut on your foot and then we might have to go to the hospital and get glass out of your foot and then you might be scared to walk and then how are we going to get around? How are you going to walk? Because you're a child and you don't know any better. You might just run anyway.
Yeah.
Like a dog, they have to put the cast on
Him
just so that he won't run because he doesn't know any better.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, oh, that's a glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a glass.
Yeah, that's it.
But for us, it's that whole thing. This is why God has to be our protector, because he knows the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's not telling you what to do and what not to do because he's like, oh, well, I don't really like that. Don't fornicate because, I think it's nasty. No. He's telling you don't fornicate because you could end up having a child with somebody who you ain't in covenant with. You have no relationship and you'll produce children that have bad relationships
mm-hmm.
and don't have no ties because you don't have no ties to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they messing up your life and now your paycheck is garnished on top of it. Now you mad at her, resenting her. You talking to the child, talking about, hey, your mother ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And then she talking about your daddy ain't, and now he think, well, I guess ain't nobody is. Well, I'll just live whatever life I want.
Mercy.
Maybe I'll start pimping. I don't
Mercy.
Know.
Mercy.
And it's always this stuff down the line,
mm-hmm.
but we can't even know about it until we mature.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that is the perspective of actually knowing how to love people,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that. Until we actually mature enough that we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
But we know that we don't know what God knows until we actually do get mature. But God is the parent. He's the parent in the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
He knows, and he's like he's super dad.
Mm-hmm.
He knows all the ins and outs. What's just a door to me is everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It's interesting that you said specifically that because at Growth Group today, we always eat first. And I went out to give JJ his pizza and Corey was already sitting there. And there was another little boy that was in there because all the kids were in that room. And he's also 3.
Mm.
And he looked at my plate and he said, that's not food.
Dead serious.
And I was like, oh, well, I already finished eating my chicken, so those are bones. And he was like, no, not that. That's leaves. And I was like, that salad, sweetheart. And I was like, they're lettuce leaves, but they're not leaves like from a tree. And he's like, no, it's not. And I was like, yes, it is.
Arguing with this baby.
Right. And then he was laughing and ran out. And Corey was like, you should listen to her because she knows everything.
There it is.
Like, it's so funny that you said that, like, right after that happened. Yeah. She said, she knows everything. I said, I don't know everything. And she said, well, you know a lot more than I know. And I was like, I mean, yes, that's true, but I don't know everything. Well, no, the first thing she said was, you know all the stuff that I don't know. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know all the stuff that you don't know. I said, I know a lot more than you, but not all the stuff. I said, I'm still learning too. Mm-hmm. But we literally, I found it so interesting that she said that because she definitely rolls like she hates me saying stuff. You know, like she hates for me to point out that something is not right when she says it or does it.
Sure enough.
Like she hates it. It's horrible. But for her to actually acknowledge that was interesting. But even me just having to tell her I don't know everything, you know, but it's what you just said. When you're conformed to the world, you're operating in your own quote unquote wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, the world tells you that it's all within and that, you know, like you got this, you're strong enough, you have enough power, you know, just put your mind to it, like unleash your inner potential and all that type of stuff. That would be conforming to the world and just doing self and trusting self. Trust in yourself. Yeah. Believe in yourself.
Yes.
Right? And then, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind means come to me as a child.
Yes.
If you don't have faith like these little ones, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Woo.
Right?
Woo.
So, you know, really just the that mindset, that being transformed to know that, man, I actually don't know anything.
Anything.
And I can't predict the future. Yeah. But this one, you know, you're talking about the difference in age between us and an 8-year-old. And we're talking about the Ancient of Days. We're talking about the Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
Who he's like, I was here before the beginning of anything. Earth and time as you know it. You know, and I will be here for all time. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, as someone who literally has been here forever and will be here forever and already exists in the future and in the past and in the present at the same time, that this is what needs to happen here. And we're just like, no, but I know. We're just, that's such a good example. But in addition to that, you know, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, Philippians 2 3-5 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But then it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And it's, you know, well, let me keep going. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. That's the part we don't see. We try to exalt ourselves now. And God is like, first of all, whatever exaltation you can do of yourself in this lifetime pales in comparison to what I'm trying to give you.
Yeah.
You know, success is in here is not really success at all in comparison to what I have in store for you.
Yeah.
You know, and he's saying God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a lot. But because really, Jesus was just he said, I don't do anything but what my Father tells me to do. Everything is to the glory of God the Father. Mm-hmm. Everything I do, everything I say, my actual existence, the fact that I'm here, the fact that I'm serving you, the fact that I'm humbling myself, all of that is to the glory of God, which is for the upbuilding of the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's all about the kingdom, and it's not about me at all. No, and if our mind, if we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that means we're going to take on the mind of Jesus Christ. which means that, I mean, really, and that's what we really were talking about in our growth group today, too. Well, Francis Chan, he was kind of alluding to that, that it's like we're reading the Bible from a selfish point of view.
Yeah.
What can I get? What does God want for me? And, you know, just how far can I go? And, you know, all of that. And it's like, really, the Bible is a book that's not about you at all. Because if you're really, first of all, the whole Bible is about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus literally became of no reputation, made himself of no reputation. This is not like, I didn't come down here and say, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm the Son of God. I'm amazing, right? No, sir, and no, ma'am. Like when he raises Lazarus from the dead, he says, he prays in front of everybody, and he says, you know, you did this so that they can see who you are. Basically, it's I'm here doing this now. He said, Lord, let them see who you are. And he is God.
Yeah.
And he's praying for God to be glorified, but he humbled himself. That's so interesting. That's an interesting dichotomy there, where he's praying like, God, I want you to be. And even in the Garden of Eden, you know, I at the man part of me wants this cup to pass, but the God part of me is saying, but I know this is what they need.
Yes.
So nevertheless, not my will as a human, but thy will, which is also my will because I am you. That's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Not to say also he made himself.
Yeah.
Into Jesus. He said, you know, we're going into Mary.
Yeah.
And we're going to be married in Bethlehem. He could have said, we're going into the king or whoever. But instead, I'm going to make myself of no reputation.
For real.
Yes. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Amen. So our final thoughts?
Well, I guess we got to bring it back around to... So why should you get married if that means that... Well, and how can you truly be happy? Because, you know, Will and Jada, it's like a lot of people looked at them and they're like, oh, cute Hollywood couple. We love them. Couple goals. And then come to find out them jokers ain't been together in this long. And they've been having so much drama already, you know, with the entanglements and, you know, rumors of, you know, bisexuality and open marriages and all this stuff. And people are just like, I guess what I would say is that marriage is only real when God is in it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. I mean, in eternal regards, right? If you don't know God and you're married, you're still married, but you won't know what God's desire is for your marriage other than the things he's already stated. But other than the things he's already stated, you know, our marriage is more than that.
Yeah.
It is actual purpose and assignment and, hey, we want you to do this. Hey, do this podcast. But I would say for people, you get married because it's a lifetime of service.
Yeah.
It's like people, you will always feel more satisfied, successful, gratitude, whatever it is, you will always feel better. And this people like, oh, I want to be happy. It's like, okay, be happy serving others. That's what is literally what makes, it's really what really makes you happy. And if you don't get happy from serving others, you have a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sure what it is, but, you know, at the heart of it, maybe pride or just a high-spirited, haughty spirit, whatever it may be, but you're misguided. And in your service of others, God said in his word, if any of you desires to be great, let him serve all of you. And the greatest of you will be the servant to all.
Yeah.
Yes. So why should I get married? It's because it actually is a lifetime of service to your spouse and being there for them in a way that nobody else can actually do. Not even God. God cannot be your spouse.
Yeah.
You are not married to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think just trust into, like we're saying, that taking on the mind of Christ. It's only when we take on the mind of Christ that marriage is something appealing.
Yes, that's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah, in and of ourselves, it sounds like you're losing something, but in the thought process of, you know, the will and the word of God, it's a gain.
I can't even sing out of everything to gain nothing in this. train to lose.
Nothing in this world.
World to lose.
Wait.
But every
Hold on.
Come along, my friends, come along.
Get aboard and ride this train. Nothing on this train to lose, but everything to gain. Amen.
Everything to gain.
Hop on board. Hallelujah.
Ew. thank you for watching and listening. We appreciate you. We will see you next time. God bless you.
God bless.